Hallelujah. And then this morning I want to really just finish and close off the series of studies I've been doing on what I've called the reality of redemption. We've seen so much over the last few months as I've taken this series through, seeing what we've been redeemed from, what the word redeemed means. You know, the word redeemed really means to buy back or to purchase. Or another understanding is to pay the ransom price. And our text verse that we've been taking in this series of studies is in Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. I'll just read those two verses to you this morning. And it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yet Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now one of the things that was evident, particularly in the last three sessions that I've taken, is that the curse was a threefold curse. And it was invoked or came upon God's people for disobedience to God's law, God's command. And as we've studied, we've looked in Deuteronomy, and we've looked in Genesis, the curse involved poverty, sickness, and death. And we've already looked at the subjects redeemed from poverty and redeemed from sickness. So I want to take this morning the last of those three curses. Redeemed from the curse of death. Now death is a curse. In actual fact, it was the very first curse that God ever said would come upon his people if they were disobedient. And we're going to go this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Because here in the book of Genesis, we see God's instruction to Adam in verse 15, it says, Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. In other words, what God was saying to him, look, he said, the day you break my commandment, you're going to die. The day you disobey me and take the fruit which I commanded you not to take, you will surely die. That was God's word. You know, he's pronouncing, but saying that this curse would come upon them if they were disobedient to his command. Now, in the Garden of Eden, which was full of wonderful fruit trees, God said they could take whatever fruit they wanted. They could enjoy life in the garden. But they were not permitted to take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If they ate from that tree, they'd bring the curse down upon themselves, curse of death upon themselves. What we see as we get into chapter 3, we see that Satan came in and deceived Eve, getting her to doubt what God had said. That they could just live as they liked and there would be no consequences. They could take the tree because God didn't really mean what he said. And that's what he tried to get her to believe. And what she did, she hearkened to his voice, she listened to what he had to say, she saw that the tree was so beautiful and it was good to look at, that she did what she was told not to do. And in Genesis 3, verse 19, when God came looking for them, he pronounced to Adam, he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Then he pronounces the curses. Cursed is the ground for your sake. It told you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. There he pronounces that the curse of death is now in the earth. The curse of poverty was there, the curse of sickness was there, and the curse of death was there. You know, death, you know, we don't like talking about death. A lot of people get all uptight and agitated when you start talking about death and dying. But we need to know this, that death was never part of God's creation. When you look at the Garden of Eden, there was no death, there was no decay. There was no rattling of the leaves on the trees. There was no crushing. I can't get my mind around this, so I'm sure if you really think about it, perhaps you can't either. You know, but you know, when you walk across a field of grass or you tread on flowers, you break them and they crush and they lie down. But there was none of that in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve walked across the fields. Maybe they walked across a few bars, but they'd just spring back up. There would be no death. There was no destruction in the Garden of Eden. And it was never part of God's creation. And it was never part of his purpose or his intention for you and I either. Adam was created an immortal being. That was. He was created never to die. And the Bible plainly tells us in the book of Corinthians that physical death is now an enemy of God and an enemy of man. And 1 Corinthians 15:26 tells us that death will be the last enemy that will be destroyed. It's the last enemy to be destroyed. But what is meant by death? In our reading in Genesis 2, I want you to look at these words. The words of God. In Genesis 2, verse 17, the words we read, says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Look at what he says. "The day you eat of it, you will surely die." Now I want you to just hook up on those two words this morning. God told Adam that the same day he ate of the fruit, he would surely, without a doubt, that means, you know, there's no ifs and buts or maybes with that word. Surely means it's going to happen. The day Adam ate the fruit, he was surely going to die. So what I want to know then is why, when I read the scriptures, for the next few chapters, do we see Adam and Eve still alive? Because the day they ate of that fruit, they should have died. They should have dropped down dead the moment they took a bite of that. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira in the church? You know, they came, they lied to God, and they dropped down dead instantly. So why didn't it happen to Adam and Eve? Why didn't they drop down dead that instant? Was God lying? Did God change his mind? No, of course he didn't. What we need to understand that so we can understand what we've been redeemed from. In the next chapter, in chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, we read these words that God drove them out of the garden. And he set cherubim at the east end of the garden and a flaming sword to protect the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, to protect all that, those precious fruits which sustain life. And what we actually see, as you actually look through the early chapters of Genesis, you actually see that Adam lived for approximately 900 more years after this event took place. He hadn't died, but he lived for 900 years or more. I'm assuming that the Bible says that when he died, he was 930 years. So anywhere between 800 and 900 years later, Adam is still living after they took of the fruit of the tree. Well, to understand what God was talking about, we need to understand death. We've got to understand this, that man, you and I, we are not physical beings. You might say, well, I've got, I can feel my, I know I'm physical, I can feel myself, but we're not physical beings, because the scripture teaches that man is a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. And Paul touches on this in the book of Thessalonians. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. You don't have to turn it up, but if you want to, that's where it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And he says, well, he's part of his closing benediction to the Thessalonian church. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming down of Jesus Christ. Paul talks about the man being spirit, soul, and body. Now let's go and make sure we get this in the right order. Spirit, soul, body. It's not body, soul, and spirit, as a lot of the people outside talk about. They talk about mind, body, spirit. That's the wrong order. God's order is spirit first, then soul, then body. It's not the body first. That's where we get a lot of our problems, because we listen to the body. We should be listening to the spirit. Spirit always comes first with God. Man is a spirit being who possesses a soul, and the soul of man is his mind, his will, and his emotions. So your intellect, your thought process, that's all part of your soul. The emotions, your feelings, that comes from the soul. The real man is the spirit. The spirit operates through the soul, and the soul operates through the body. The real you, your spirit, lives in your body. This is just like a garment that we put on to go out in the like a coat that we wrap around when we go out in the cold. You know, we get dressed up, we put our coat on, and we go out. It's all this body is. It's just a suit, really, so we can live here on planet Earth. So we can function as a person in the Earth. But the real you and me is our spirit. This isn't a new doctrine or new teaching, because Jesus taught this to a very religious man. His name was Nicodemus. And we use these scriptures in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Almost, we repeat these scriptures, these verses, parafashion. But in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Now Nicodemus, like a lot of us, he goes, well, he's trying to work this out in his mind, trying to work it out on earth. He could get back into his mother's womb another second time and be born. You know, he was using natural thinking to comprehend a spiritual truth. And he asked that question. He said, look, he said, well, how can a man, when he is old, go back a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But then Jesus gave him the secret. And this really tells us about who we are. He said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus explains to Nicodemus here that being born again is a spiritual requirement. We use that word spiritual. A spirit requirement. It's a requirement of the Spirit that we are born again. The human spirit is reborn, regenerated, when we met Jesus our Lord and Savior. The term we use the term born, the word literally means to be reborn. To be born again. And it's the Spirit. The Spirit. It's not our body. That's not born again. If our body was born again, then we wouldn't have any problems. We wouldn't be suffering pains, and we wouldn't be growing old. We wouldn't be showing signs of age. We wouldn't be going grey in our hair, getting wrinkles. It's the body, it's not the body, it's the Spirit that's born again. What we're thinking about is, I just want to go to another scripture. Jesus taught a parable. In Luke 16. There's some interesting things said in this reading in Luke 16, verse 19, where we're going to begin reading. Just for half a dozen or so verses. This parable. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We can leave it there because that's, we don't have to, I mean, the parable goes on. But in verse 22 it says this, it says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The beggar died. How we would understand death. His body gave out on him. But notice it says in the scripture here in verse 20, it says that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. They didn't carry his body. His body was in the ground or wherever it was buried or left. But his spirit and his soul were taken to Abraham's bosom. One thing else that is evident in this parable is that both Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, the rich man is in Hades, both of these two men are still conscious because they're talking to the angel, talking to Abraham. But when a person dies, as we would understand death, their spirit and their soul live on. The spirit never dies, and the soul never dies. The body decays, because the body's only, as I said, it's only a shell suit that we're living. It's only here, we've only got it while we're living on it. But our spirit and our soul live on. Now the Bible talks about, in particular, three kinds of death, which we need to be aware of. One of those is spiritual death. This is where our, if I use the word unregenerate, or the mass, the soul that isn't born again, is spiritually dead. Or it means to be separated from God. You know, we don't have that fellowship with God. We're spiritually dead. You know, Paul argues in Romans 8, he says that the spiritual man cannot, or the natural man cannot understand the spiritual because he's spiritually dead. You know, he doesn't have no concept. He cannot think the way it is because to the spirit he's dead. He's spiritually dead. He's without God, without the Holy Ghost. So that's spiritual death. Then there's physical death, when we lay down this shell suit, this body, and we go to the grave. Then the Bible talks about another death, which is eternal death, or we might know it as the second death. And that's the lake of fire which has been ultimately prepared for the devil and his angels, but it is the home of the spiritual dead. It's where they will spend. not annihilated, but conscious. An eternal separation from God. Just as we are looking for a home in heaven, we'll be living where we'll be conscious of where we are. You know, because the spirit and the soul always live on. Be it in heaven or in hell. Now, spiritual death came to the earth first. And that's what God was speaking to Adam in the garden. It says, the day that you eat of it, you will be spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Death was coming. So the instant they took of that fruit, the moment they bit into it, they died. They were separated from God. Spiritual death came first. And then that was manifest. We began to manifest in the body. Then the aging process set in the body. We grow old. We get to the point where we can't go on anymore. And our body goes the way of the grave. Perhaps you've read and noticed in Genesis, we don't have to turn back to it, but when God came looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden, just after he sinned, just after he'd fallen, the question was this: where are you, Adam? Where are you? God couldn't find him. Where are you? Now, God knew where he was. He wasn't hidden from God, and of course God knew where he was. But where are you? You've been separated from me. You're no longer in fellowship with me. You're spiritually dead. If man, this is something we need to understand, if man had not died spiritually, he would never have died physically. If man had not died on the spiritual, the physical would have lived on forever. Because spiritual death brings on physical death. And spiritual death means, and if you stay spiritually dead, that means you're going to be eternally dead. To be spiritually dead means that we've got Satan's nature, or Satan's spirit. And we're born with that nature. And we need to be born again, or our spirit needs to be born again, so that we can receive the nature of God. And eternal life. It's something to think about as we wrap up this series. Man is not lost today. We talk about being saved and lost. Man is not lost today because of what he does. It's got nothing to do with what you've done. It's to do with who you are. You're not lost today because you've sinned. It's because of your spiritually dead, because of that sin nature. Sins, that's a gift. They can be looked over. You know, God did that for years. He looked over sin. You know, when the sacrifice was made, the animal went, the death atonement, God just looked over the sin. He covered it. But that didn't change. These people were still spiritually dead. Because they could not be made spiritually alive until the cross. And that's why in that verse it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of death. He became a curse for us so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. So that the blessing, the life, eternal life, the Zoe life, might come upon us. I've just got three scriptures to read to finish with this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about the cross, the work of the cross. And in Hebrews 9, verse 26, we read these words. It says, he then, talking about Jesus, the great high priest, he then would have had to have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It says he's put away sin, not sins. Let's not add the S on the end. We're not talking about the things we've done. It's talking about the nature, our sin nature. Jesus has put that away. He took the nature of spiritual death so that we could have eternal life. He bore our sin so that we could have life. John writes, or it's the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. It says that those who believed on him have already passed from death into life. We've already been redeemed. We've passed from death into life. We're no longer spiritually dead, but spiritually alive. Ephesians, that tells us this. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Oh, "you he made alive." Luke King James puts it like this. "You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses." We've come out from spiritual death, and now we're made alive. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, as we've seen with poverty, we've seen with sickness, it's completely up to you and up to me. It's up to us whether we receive what Jesus has done for us. The redemption price has already been paid. Jesus has already redeemed us from the curse. But the choice is up to us. Now, we said it last week and the week before. You can stay poor if you want to stay poor. You're not going to be around when we're into being blessed and prospered if you don't want to be. If you want to stay poor, then that's fine. Stay with sickness. If you want to stay sick, then that's up to you. But healing's already been made available. And if you want to stay spiritually dead, then that's your entitlement. If you want to stay dead to God, no one's going to force you. God's not going to say, "Well, you've got to do this, you've got to go." It's completely up to you. It's every man makes his own decision. Now we receive that reality of our redemption. Well, we receive it by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we receive it. That's how we receive anything from God. We do it by faith in Jesus. What he's done for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us so that the blessing might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. That's how we receive anything from God, through faith in him. That's how we're going to be blessed and prospered. That's how we're going to be healed and healthy. That's how we're going to have eternal life. Those three curses, death, poverty, and sickness, Jesus paid the price to redeem us from. You know, we can enjoy all the benefits of redemption just by believing on Jesus, putting our trust in him. You know, doing what he asks us to do. Keeping his law, keeping his commands. Remember what it said in Deuteronomy 28. "All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you do what I command you to do. You're obedient to what I tell you." But first of all, we've got to come to him. We've got to believe him. We've got to receive him. You know, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Reality can be a redemption can be a reality today. Amen. We'll sing number 23, "I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man."